The Chief Ombudsman is launching an investigation into the MIQ booking system for people trying to come back to New Zealand during this COVID pandemic after receiving a record number of complaints on a single issue. 800 so far. The Ombudsman, Peter Boshier, told Checkpoint's Lisa Owen why he felt the need to investigate.
I have not got the answers that I need in relation to the complaints in order that I can say to complainants, I've investigated what you've got to say and there's no problem. So that's my way of saying to you, MB has engaged well. But the complaints here are so many and written with such intensity that I've got to dig much deeper to see. Really what I want to ask is this system, which seems to have had so many problems to complainants, is there any better way? What recommendations might have been made? What other ways of organising the system might have been contemplated? Has MB reasonably considered those and accepted or rejected? I want to look at their process and why we've ended up where we are.
That's the Ombudsman, Peter Boshier, speaking on Checkpoint this afternoon. He says he'll ask why the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, MB, has worked through so many different types of technology given to give a queue fairness. Ashwin Naidu lives in Melbourne and wanted to visit his grandmother in New Zealand as she was very sick but wasn't allowed. He has filed 4 complaints to the Ombudsman and joins us now for his reaction to the news of an investigation. Kia ora, Ashwin.
Kia ora, how's it going?
I'm fine. Are you feeling buoyed slightly by the fact that the Ombudsman is now taking up those complaints that you and others have made?
Yeah, I'm really excited and really happy that the issues are being raised now and people that will be accountable to the failures of the MIQ system and the there is just countless people around the world who want to return back New Zealanders and their stories are heartbreaking and devastating, and now they can be formally investigated by the Ombudsman, because this is just the number of complaints that have been received by the Ombudsman is outstanding. There's just so many that want to return and have issues with it. I'm just surprised that the government hasn't taken any action to investigate it itself to put anything. So I'm really happy that something is coming out of this now.
What was your situation when you first asked to come back?
When I was starting to come back was before the lobby. So that's when they had just, you had to try and find a spot at any given time, and there was no spots for me. Couldn't find anything. I didn't know when the spots would be released. It was clueless. And even now with the lobby system, I get in, but I get pushed back to the queue. So I can't actually, it takes a while to get to the front, and it's just hectic to get back home. Of my situation is probably not as dire as there's other situations out there where people can't live where they are, but it shouldn't be a competition or a race to return back and to New Zealand. It should be like that.
How did you feel when the system denied you, which I guess it has now several times?
Yeah, every single attempt that I've made to get back to New Zealand, I've been denied. I was hopeful of the bubble that was established, but that has gone away. I was devastated. Every single time I tried to return home to New Zealand, I even tried emergency allocation, which was very rare that I would get approved, but I even tried that, couldn't get through to that. So I'm just devastated. I can't go see my grandparents in New Zealand and my family over there, separated between, even though there's no cases in the South Island of New Zealand, I can't even visit there. So it's just really devastating, heartbreaking.
Where does your grandmother live?
She's in Christchurch, New Zealand.
How's she doing now?
She's doing fine. She had a few issues with her respiratory system, breathing, et cetera, like that. I've been contacting her often via WhatsApp and stuff like that, but it's not the same as actually being there with her and supporting her. So she's also isolated as well. She's very scared to go out to the rest of the world. So her isolation is not really helping herself and my grandfather's over there.
Why did you go to Australia in the first place? How long have you been in Melbourne?
Oh, I live here in Australia. Right. So I usually go back because my grandparents I was born in New Zealand, but I moved to Australia. But I usually go back and forth quite often to New Zealand to check on my grandparents and my family over there, and then come back over here to Australia. And not being able to do that is just really hard on me, because the isolation between me and my grandparents, the relationship that I have with them, is a good, strong bond, and it's really hard not to be able to see them.
Ashwin, there will be, because I see the comments that come through every time we touch on this issue from those who say, well, once upon a time, people came to New Zealand or left New Zealand, they had no chance of coming back. They had no chance of a Zoom meeting. They had no chance of any kind of video call. They made the choice. You can at least Zoom with your grandmother. Why should we risk our own health of our population by opening up our borders more than we already have?
There is obviously the risk of bringing COVID back into New Zealand, but I feel that there should be at least a proper pathway to get back into New Zealand, especially for citizens who, obviously, some of them went overseas and they took the risk to go overseas and knew that they could possibly not be able to get back in, or the difficulty to get back in. But now I feel that there should be a pathway for a citizen to return.
What does a proper pathway look like to you, Ashwin?
For a New Zealand citizen, the pathway would be that you would be able to have a spot. Well, you have a spot in MIQ to get in, or whatever system is in place. The MIQ is obviously in place, so have a spot in MIQ to get in. But if you do get in and you leave again, then I would say that's silly. Then you should probably have to pay for it if you come in for a holiday and then go back. But if you're actually genuinely coming back to New Zealand to reside in New Zealand, you should not have to pay for the MIQ. You should be able to come back into your country and be welcomed into your country, not have to race and compete against other people to enter your country. Obviously, there is the risk of COVID, but in this world, we'll have to live with COVID at some stage. It's a virus. It's not going to go away. So to justify that there's a risk of COVID and that's why we're not going to let our citizens in isn't really a justifiable reason to remove citizens from coming into the country, because there's got to be the virus anyway. A citizen might not bring it in, but other people could bring it into New Zealand. So even these now fully vaccinated New Zealand citizens that would have returned, they pose a less severe risk to the community in New Zealand. So I just feel we should be given a choice into returning, not just blatantly called off.
Ashwin, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No worries.
That's Ashwin Naidu. He lives in Melbourne. That's where home is now, but he wants to visit his grandmother in Christchurch. He can't. He, at the moment, is one of many wanting to come, and he's one of many who has sent complaints to the Ombudsman, Peter Boshier, and the Ombudsman is now investigating those complaints. A record number on a single issue, over 800. I have someone on the line now. We're withholding her name, as she wants to keep it confidential. So I'm going to call her Kate. She's from the Coromandel. She left New Zealand in June to work as a nurse in Australia for a few weeks. But soon that travel bubble closed and she's been stuck there ever since. She says there wasn't any work for her in the Coromandel, so she applied to become a COVID vaccinator to help her community. But it took the government 3 months to reply to her. And at that point the reply was no. She says she has to work for an income and her mental health. And that was the push that got her to go to Australia for work. She joins us now from Australia. Kia ora, Kate. How are you doing?
Oh, kia ora, Brian. Kia ora. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm fine, but I'm here, and you're there, Queensland.
Yeah, I am. Sending all my love home to New Zealand.
Are you one of those that complained to the Ombudsman?
Not yet.
Not yet. But maybe you will. Maybe you don't need to. He's going to investigate now. But then those investigations... Your story will be one of those he might be investigating.
Well, I guess so, but is that really going to help us in the foreseeable future?
That's perhaps one of the things. I mean, he could investigate, then there's a question of whether the government will do anything. or how long that investigation is going to take and what it might lead to. It might lead to a result, but maybe at the end of the investigation, which is possibly no consolation for you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I think the general feeling now is that the government is going to do something. It has to do something. It's reached such a miserable point now that there are so many tens of thousands of New Zealanders that are being denied, you know, their right to come home. And as far as I'm aware, I'm a health professional. Everybody has to be COVID tested before they leave their country, as they enter New Zealand, and then two tests afterwards, and as, along with the quarantining. So it's pretty stringent testing.
Kate, I was asking Ashwin about what, because he said, I want a clear pathway. What for you constitutes a clear, fair way of getting back into New Zealand, which is not putting those of us here at any greater risk than we already are?
Absolutely. Look, for me, I look at this lottery system and ask why isn't it run on a triage level? So basically, those who need to get home the most urgently should be getting home, and those whose needs are not so urgent, they go to the back of the queue, or they go further back in the queue. I think it's cruel, this whole lottery system at the moment. It's a miserable system to belong to.
Is it any better than the system we had before the lottery system?
I think it's far, far worse. I think it's far worse, because you have one opportunity a week and you're kind of sitting there in front of a screen with all these balls, and it up pops a number, and you know straight away, like my first three attempts were like way over the 20,000, 26,000 people ahead of you. And even though you know in your heart you don't stand a chance, you just sit with your face glued to that screen in case by some incredible reason a glitch happens, your number pops up, whatever, and yeah, you just stay there stuck for hours.
Didn't you also have to do the same thing with the previous system, just keep on hitting return, 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 return?
Look, no, it wasn't. It was pretty much you entered into the MIQ site and you searched the dates around the time, and it gave you a fairly wide window, and you could just look, and if there wasn't any dates, well, there wasn't any dates. And you then were, that gave you the opportunity to revise your plan, go, okay, well, I can't get in here, you know, we can try a different date. But this doesn't, just basically says, no, you were not successful.
And do you still have work in Queensland, Kate?
Yes, I've been lucky that I picked up casual work. So that's kept my head above water and kept me busy. But there's no place like home. Everyone wants to go home at the end of the day after their, you know, hard day's work. And I wasn't mentally geared up for staying away from home. You know, I just came over in a suitcase. And I'm luckier than a lot. There are a lot of such, it's awful, some of the tragedies that I read on the pages, and it's so unfair and it's cruel. And I'd happily take a place further back in the queue if it means getting these other people. You know, families are torn apart. Children haven't seen their dads, mothers are being separated from their children. Elderly people, you know, it just goes on and on. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of cases.
You don't regard your situation as urgent as others?
Look, I would dearly, dearly love to be home. All I want to do is go home to my own house that I worked my whole life to pay and worked, you know, blood, sweat and tears, and want to sleep in my bed. I'm like everyone else. But when I read some of the posts from people and they are telling us their story, it's like, oh my God. I think the average person in New Zealand has absolutely no idea how bad this whole MIQ lottery system is.
When the travel bubble was set up between New Zealand and Australia, and my partner and I thought about maybe going for a holiday, and then we thought, no, no way, because at any point the disease could get back into the Australian or New Zealand community and we'd be in a pile of trouble. Why did you decide to take that risk?
Well, good question. And, you know, like, we only had a very brief window. I had actually only been here for a couple of weeks after being off work for 7 months. So I thought, wow, I guess naively now, I look back now and think, wow, I wish I had it. But however, I had no idea that this whole MIQ lottery system was coming up. So I had to kind of weigh things up and go, well, I need to work for my mental health as well. I need to keep myself working and busy and, you know, a sense of purpose in life. Yes, and that's one of the barriers that, you know, that we feel from Kiwis is that, oh, we, you know, I guess there is that mindset, oh, well, you guys went over there, you know, you took the risk, so it's your own fault. But there are literally thousands and thousands of Kiwis that are FIFO workers and have been for years. So, you know, these people, that's their life. That's what they've done for many years, just like other people have worked in a radio station all their life.
Do you see the system as being a kind of crude rationing by queuing?
I see the system as treating us like livestock, like numbers. It shows no respect for me. It shows no integrity to its citizens. It shows no caring whatsoever. I think it's just, it's miserable and it's a cruel mind game.
Do you think the Ombudsman can make a difference?
I think he could if he wanted to. I don't believe that the New Zealand government has to do anything that the Ombudsman suggests. I think what would make a difference would be for our government to say, look at it realistically now and go, you know what, there's actually, you know, Brian, there's more COVID in New Zealand than there is in Queensland. So who needs protecting? You know, if they are saying now that that Kiwis that are infected with COVID can isolate at home, why on earth are all these New Zealand citizens and residents that are returning, the ones that do, that are lucky enough to get a room, have to be isolated and quarantined at a huge expense to themselves?
Kate, thanks so much. Yeah. Oh, sorry, carry on, Kate.
Carry on, Kate.
So, you know, everyone must remember that there is testing, testing, testing every point of the way, all the way home. And, you know, there's COVID over there. The Delta's over there. It's there. It's already there. We're not bringing it home. It's already there.
Kate, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening.
Thanks, Brian. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Kate. That's Kate. It's not a real name. She doesn't want to give out her real name, but she's a New Zealander. Went over to Queensland for work when the travel bubble was open between New Zealand and Australia. Left her home in Coromandel. Now, like others, she can't get back. The Ombudsman is investigating now. Announced today he would investigate the MIQ system as currently set up to deal with New Zealanders wanting to come back to their country during this current pandemic.